News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, 704-570-1110, 1-800-WBT-1110. And you can email Pete at thepetecallinershow.com. You can also hit me up on Twitter and Getter at Pete Callinor. Remember, get the podcast as well at WBT.com. The Associated Press has told its editors and reporters to avoid emphasizing case counts now on COVID. So the thing that animated virtually all of the media coverage for the last 2 years is now not really so important. I mean, yes, these are record numbers, and yes, it's infecting, you know, people in these states that supposedly were much better people and much better community members, looking out for others by getting, you know, vaccinated and then boosted and wearing triple masks and locking down to stop the spread. And they were much better people than, you know, some of you living in Florida. I mean, I'll go vacation there, but I'm not going to live there, you plague rat people. But now, can't really trust the numbers. It just means, for example, no more stories focused solely on a particular state that sets a one-day record for number of cases. Because, as the AP reports, the claim, the data point, has become unreliable. It has not become unreliable. It has been unreliable. The data point hasn't become anything new. Your understanding may be new. Welcome. But the data point has been known for a while. There have been problems with it being misleading since its inception. But you guys preferred to, you know, accuse folks like me of trying to kill people when I pointed out the problem with the data, with the metric, and the focus by media newsrooms on this one metric as some sort of paramount piece of info. By the way, the hospitalization numbers, can't even really trust those now, can we, either? Because now we find out the very thing that we've been saying for almost 2 years, like, how exactly are we counting people who die with COVID or from COVID, people who are hospitalized with COVID or from COVID? Because we heard the stories about, you know, the guy on the motorcycle who went to the hospital, he got in an accident and went to the hospital and they put him down as from COVID. But he was in a motorcycle accident and he happened to test positive when he came in. And so they chalk that up as a COVID death or a COVID hospitalization. People have been raising these questions from the beginning. But again, we were told by you super science-y types that simply asking these questions meant we wanted grandma to die. Quote, we definitely wanted people to go a little deeper and be more specific in reporting, says Josh Hoffner, the news editor who helps oversee the AP's virus coverage. Well, good for you, Josh. Glad you guys have finally gotten around to it at the AP. It's not like you guys feed wire content, right, for like, oh, I don't know, everybody. It's good that you are asking people and wanting people to go a little deeper and be more specific. It is, after all, 2 years into the pandemic. Glad you finally see the light on that. Many news organizations are debating how best to use statistics now during the Omicron surge, but there are no easy answers. You don't have to make this harder, guys. This isn't really that complex. Okay? Here's what you do. Track the number of people in the ICUs that are on ventilators with COVID. Okay? Do that. Because chances, and then you can track those people if they recover or if they die. Because that's really the sign that someone is gravely ill, right? That's a constant. That's always been the case. Because if you are on a vent and you're in the ICU with COVID, chances are that's what's killing you, right? Now, I know it's not going to be a perfect data set, but that's a really, really good one to track, okay? Try that one. We need the data. This is, what's her name? Wu. Elizabeth Wu, I think is her name. Or maybe it's Wu. She's with the Atlantic. She's been, she's the one in charge of all the, Catherine Wu. staff writer covering COVID-19 for The Atlantic magazine. She says, this is how journalism works. We need the data. We need to show receipts to readers, but I try to do it carefully. Okay. Hospitalization and death rates are considered to be some of the more reliable picture of COVID-19's current impact on society. Yet even the usefulness of those numbers has now been called into question in recent days. In many cases, hospitalizations are incidental. There are people being admitted for other reasons and are surprised to find out that they tested positive for COVID. Despite these imperfections, case counts should not be ignored, said Gary Switzer, a University of Minnesota School of Public Health instructor and the publisher of healthnewsreview.org, which monitors health coverage in the media. God, I could not imagine a more boring beat. The numbers illustrate trends, giving a picture of which areas of the country are being hit particularly hard or where the surge may have peaked. They can predict broader societal impacts, like where hospitals are about to be slammed or where there will be worker shortages. See, this is all fine and good. You can use a data point, but it requires the journalist to provide context. And far be it for me to suggest that there are a lot of morons in media nowadays, but there appear to be a lot of morons in the media. They cannot provide you the complex, nuanced perspective. They just cannot do it. And they're apparently surrounded in the newsrooms by people who are equally unable to do so. One of the other stories here related is the lab leak story. And I've been talking about this now for 2 years. Jim Garrity at National Review has done a lot of great work on this. And of course, what was originally, you know, pushed back against and was originally worthy of earning you an attack as a, you know, one who's a racist and you just hate Asian people and you're helping to foment attacks, hate crimes on Asian people, until we found out that there were a lot of black people that were perpetrating the Asian hate crimes, and then that story went away. But at the beginning, you'll recall, simply suggesting that this Wuhan virus, because that's what it was called originally, because you named the viruses from the regions of the world from whence they come, but then we had to change all of that. We went with the Greek alphabet instead. No word on whether the Greeks are offended by that change, of course, but then initially, you were told that if you called it the Wuhan flu or you referred to it as anything related to China, that meant you were a racist, which, of course, that also played into the narrative that the Chinese Communist Party was very interested in advancing as well. And a lot of people in media just went right along with it. I have always leaned more towards the Chi-Com crud. That's the name I like it because it includes the word com, the communist component here. Because really, so much of our response in the world, on the planet, has really been dictated by the commies, and I think it's really been to our detriment. So I really feel like they deserve a place of honor in the naming of the virus. So Chi-Com crud. And then it's not like a racial thing at all. It's a communist thing, right? And really, if you can't hate on commies, really, what kind of world are we living in when I can't hate on a commie? Come on. All right, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, Pete Callender here. Pete at thepetecallendershow.com. It's actually where I got this email from Kent, who said, Pete, you'll appreciate this. I was in the Concord Hospital waiting for my wife. Noticed that the drink machines were filled with 20-ounce sugar drinks. Not the 12-ounce cans, not the 8-ounce cans, but the big ones, the 20-ouncers. And the majority were full sugar. Mountain Dew has like 77 grams of high fructose corn syrup. 10.5 heaping tablespoons. A full sugar Pepsi at 69 grams. That's 9 tablespoons. Even an orange juice, 42 grams, which is almost 7, he says teaspoons, maybe? I don't know. I don't know the conversions on that stuff. I got to tell you, I quit drinking soda like 15 years ago. Looking around this temple of health, the staff is like 50% overweight. The patients are hugely overweight. It's all just crazy. It is. Yeah, it like all the things, all the responses. And I remember talking with people at the very beginning 2 years ago, and people would say, like, why aren't they promoting exercise and losing weight and, you know, vitamin D? And I agree, like, there, and did at the time, like, there should have been people that were promoting these things to be healthier, but they didn't. They didn't. And, like, maybe part of it is because they're politicians and they don't want to be, you know, the nag that's like, eat better and exercise. You know, they don't want to be that guy, I guess. I don't know. Or maybe they didn't want to do it themselves. They don't want to. I don't know. But public health officials who are not including Live Healthier as a way to ward off COVID, if you're not including that message, what are you doing? Seriously, like, what are you doing? So, and this undermines trust and credibility. It does. When people know certain things that help you better ward off the virus, and the elected leaders and the health experts, and they're not saying these things, then what do you think it does to your credibility? Well, then you add in this stuff, the lab leak theory. Oh, yeah, hang on. Before I get to the lab, well, it's connected. I got Joe Biden here. Mediaite sent out this clip earlier today of Joe Biden and his special appeal, which is, it's just grotesque. Joe Biden, I went over this the other day. Like, I am not fooled. I have not been fooled. I have not been unaware of who Joe Biden is. People who are like, oh, I can't believe Joe Biden isn't the empathetic uniter in chief that he claimed he would be. Really? Because, like, anybody who's been paying attention knows that Joe Biden is that guy. Joe Biden has been a jerk his entire professional career. He has been a liar. He has been a divider. He's been just the rhetoric he has trafficked in has been mendacious at times. Again, this was the guy who told black people in South Carolina that Mitt Romney was going to put them back in chains. That's the guy we've been dealing with. So no, I'm not surprised that Joe Biden cannot muster up any kind of unification kind of message. By the way, he's also being led around in his administration by people who live on Twitter, which is hilarious to me that the people who were oh so mad at Donald Trump for all of the mean tweets that he would send out, they've got a guy who basically governs based on Twitter. And that's why it seems like completely chaotic. That's why it seems like they have no message discipline, much like Trump didn't. But it seems like they just kind of bounce around. They don't really know what they're doing. And they're like a month late to a scandal. Like they kind of become aware of things like a month or so later. It's because all of the people that are advising Biden and their responses and stuff are all based off of Twitter, it seems like. So, no, this is not a surprise that Joe Biden is this guy. Take a listen to this. Here he is lobbying for fascism. And now I know people on the left are all about like, oh, no, it's Donald Trump. He's the real fascist. We're anti-fascist, so we can't be fascist, right? So fascism, sort of this is a veneer of like a free market system. But you actually don't have those kinds of controls. You have government through a regulatory state, government imposing upon the private sector the rules and regulations they have to follow. Basically robs the private sector of agency and the ability to actually direct their own destinies and the course of their business, right? So government comes in and says, here are all the rules you got to play by, and it crowds out new startups and disruptors in the field and that sort of thing. That's the fascism of an economic model side. And that is what Joe Biden is lobbying for on big tech. He wants the private sector, these big tech companies, to do things that the government cannot outrightly do. So I'll play his clip in a minute. First, let's go over to the WBT News Center now with Mark Garrison. I'm being asked why I would insult Michael Scott. I'm not insulting Michael Scott. I'm saying Kamala Harris's answer to that question is very Michael Scottish. Very much so, I think, right?
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day. Every day it is time for us to agree that there are things and tools that are available to us.
There are sometimes I start talking and I don't even know what the rest of the sentence is going to be. That's Michael Scottism, if you will. Let's see here. Dwight says, not that Dwight, says less than 1% of the $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan Act of 2021 was allocated to develop COVID therapy drugs and treatments. Biden's lack of interest in treatments for the unvaccinated has now spilled over to all. And Jeff points out figures don't lie, but liars do figure. Here is the clip of Biden asking big tech to censor people.
Unfortunately, while our military is stepping up, as they always do, there are others sitting on the sidelines, and we're standing in the way. If you haven't gotten vaccinated, do it. Personal choice impacts us all, our hospitals, our countries. I make a special appeal to social media companies and media outlets. Please deal with the misinformation and disinformation that's on your shows. It has to stop. COVID-19 is one of the most formidable enemies America has ever faced.
Really? One of the most formidable? Okay. User on Twitter named Thunder B. Well, Pimpernel. He says, as long as we're talking about stories that aren't true, that are allowed to circulate amongst the population, Joe Biden's first wife was not killed by a drunk driver, despite what he said. He barely graduated law school. He was not on scholarship, nor was he at the top of his class. And remember, he had to bail out of one of his presidential runs back in, the late 80s or 90s, whatever it was. I guess it would have been 88 or 92. He bailed because he got busted for plagiarism. He never marched for civil rights. He was never arrested for civil rights protesting, despite what he said, yesterday? Hunter Biden's laptop was not Russian disinformation. The Biden family has not divested from these foreign entities. So, no, sorry, you don't get to sit up there at some morally superior high ground and pretend that it's everybody down here who's spreading disinformation and lies. You've been doing quite a bang-up job of it yourself for quite a while, okay? Leading Western experts believe that a lab leak was the, or believed, that a lab leak was the likely origin of COVID, but were silenced because it could cause harm to Chinese scientists. That according to new emails that have been released. This is the story at the Daily Mail. Sir Jeremy Farrar, who publicly denounced the theory as a conspiracy, he actually admitted in a private email back in February of 2020 that a, quote, likely explanation was that the virus was, in fact, man-made. The then UK government advisor said at the time that he was 70-30 or 60-40 in favor of an accidental release versus natural origin. In the email sent to American health chiefs, Dr. Anthony Fauci and Dr. Francis Collins, Sir Jeremy said it was possible that COVID had been evolved from a SARS-like virus in the lab. He went on that this seemingly benign process may have accidentally created a virus primed for rapid transmission between humans. But the British scientist was shut down by his counterparts in the U.S., who warned that further debate about the origins of the virus could damage international harmony. He was told that the links and that linking the virus manipulation research to this break to the outbreak could cause, quote, unnecessary harm to science in general. And science in China in particular. Sir Jeremy claimed in his emails that other respected scientists who believed the virus could not have emerged naturally as well. Names included Professor Mike Farzon, the Harvard researcher who first discovered how the original SARS virus binds to human cells. Now, despite his concerns, Sir Jeremy went on to sign letters in the Lancet medical publication about 2 weeks later that denounced anybody who believed in the lab leak theory, called them bigots, that this was bigotry. Interesting. So you were 70-30 or 60-40 leaning towards the lab leak theory, then, and you fire this off in the email to Fauci and Collins. They then say, oh, no, no, you don't want to harm the science, which means Fauci, right? You don't want to harm Fauci, particularly the Chinese Faucis. You don't want to harm them. And then within 2 weeks, this guy, Sir Jeremy Farrar, he has now flipped. He's now singing a different tune. And he's calling people who are entertaining these ideas that he entertained, calls them bigots. I don't know if he was a bigot 2 weeks prior and if he just lost his bigotry or something. But the new emails come from members of the U.S. House Oversight Committee, Republicans, who got access to them after multiple appeals. One of the Western scientists who silenced Sir Jeremy's email, warning of COVID's likely unnatural origins, he's actually been involved in the gain-of-function research prior. Dr. Ron Fauchier, or Fauchier. Anyway, he's out of the Netherlands. He manipulated the H5N1 bird flu strain so it could jump between ferrets back in 2011. The strain is currently wreaking havoc on Europe's bird and mammal populations and infected the first British human ever last week. That was one of the guys who shut down the lab leak theory. Yeah. Francis Collins, Fauci, there, and this is what Rand Paul was going after Fauci over, the targeting of these scientists that were behind the Great Barrington Declaration. That's what they're engaged in, is not science, folks. It's not science. It's censorship. It's what it is. And people better start exploring the reasons why. By the way, a reminder that the FM translator, the 99.3 FM, it's off air. I'm not doing the maintenance. I'm just telling you that maintenance is being done on the transmitter tower. And so it is offline, but you can listen on the WBT.com. You can listen on the app, free, download it. And, of course, on 1110 AM. So there's that. So the this report out of the Daily Mail, it actually comes from emails that were obtained by Republican congressman on House Oversight. And which, by the way, if Republicans take back control of the House, they're going to get to be in charge of the House Oversight Committee again. Do you think they may be calling Fauci in front of them to go over some of this stuff? Probably. Now, Francis Collins is no longer employed by the NIH. He retired. Remember, he sang the song Somewhere After the Pandemic or whatever. It's a terrible song. But he was actually on Fox News' weekend show with Bret Baier. And Baier asked him about the targeting of the three scientists, the epidemiologists, who put together the Great Barrington Declaration, which was an anti-lockdown position paper. And they cited, you know, various science and data. And they cited this stuff and said, look, you're doing more harm than good. And you'll recall Collins and Fauci emailed each other, and this is what Rand Paul was getting at in the hearing the other day, that they targeted these scientists to take them out, to undermine them, to, you know, assassinate their characters, call them crackpots and the like. And Collins was asked about the role he played in that by Bret Baier the other day. I've got the clip here. Yeah, here it is. Take a listen.
I always hear follow the science, and you know science is observation, description, experimentation, then explanation. But it seems that a lot of health policymakers have been trying to silence opposing views. In a newly released set of emails received from Freedom of Information Act between you and Dr. Fauci in October of 2020, you referenced the Great Barrington Declaration. That was a group of epidemiologists and public health scientists who wrote, quote, "We have grave concerns about the damaging physical and mental health impacts of prevailing COVID-19 policies. Continuing current lockdown policies are producing devastating effects on short and long-term public health." In this email to Dr. Fauci and Cliff Lane at NIH, you write, quote, "Hi, Tony and Cliff, see," and you connect to the Great Barrington Declaration link, "this proposal from three fringe epidemiologists who met with the secretary seems to be getting a lot of attention, and even a co-signature from a Nobel Prize winner, Mike Leavitt, at Stanford. There needs to be a quick and devastating public takedown of its premises. I don't see anything like that online yet. Is it underway? Francis." Did you write that?
I did write that, and why? I will stand by that. Let me explain.
Yeah.
What was being proposed there was basically saying, let's not worry about mitigation. Let's just let this virus rip.
That's not what they said.
This is, of course, before we had vaccines. And basically, these, I will call them fringe epidemiologists who really did not have the credentials to be making such a grand sweeping statement, were saying, just let the virus run through the population, and eventually then everybody will have had it and we'll be okay. Hundreds of thousands of people would have died if we had followed that strategy. So I'm sorry, I was opposed to that. I still am, and I'm not going to apologize for it. There are times when people make crazy proposals on the basis of pseudoscience, and that needs to be called out.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's not what they proposed. Nobody proposed let it rip. Nobody said that. Just let it rip. Even Sweden, when people at the beginning were talking about Sweden as a model to follow, and even Sweden implemented certain mitigation efforts, right? They just didn't lock everybody down. And Francis Collins, what he's doing here is gaslighting. And, oh, yeah, he sounds like a Muppet, by the way, like a caricature. But he's essentially saying what? He's saying, you're damn right I ordered the code red. That he's acknowledging, yes, I wanted a quick and devastating takedown of these scientists because they disagreed with me. That's what he's saying. Take them out because they disagree with me. That's not science, doctor. Taking people out of the discussion because you don't like what they are saying, that's not a scientific discussion, right? That's politics. Because, well, of course it is, and that's who these people are, these health bureaucrats. By the way, Collins, he was also one of the people in this email chain, as reported in the Daily Mail, that was shutting down the lab leak theory at the beginning. He wrote to Sir Jeremy Farrar out of the UK, quote, I share your view that a switch to convenience. Sorry, I can't speak like he's, sounds like he's losing his voice. Anyway, he says, I share your view that a swift convening of experts in a confidence-inspiring framework is needed, or the voices of conspiracy will quickly dominate, doing great potential harm to science and international harmony. Other Western scientists, some of whom were involved in other controversial virus manipulation research, tried to silence the concerns immediately. In another email, Dr. Ron Fouchier of Erasmus University said, quote, further debate about such accusations would unnecessarily distract top researchers from their active duties and do unnecessary harm to science in general and science in China in particular. Meanwhile, 270, quote, scientists, medical professionals, professors, and science communicators. Like, who's that? A science communicator? This has really become a cult, guys. They are requesting that Spotify add a misinformation policy for its platform because of Joe Rogan and his massively popular podcast, The Joe Rogan Experience. The open letter to Spotify called for action against Rogan comes as a result of his interview with Dr. Robert Malone that got like 10 million plus counting listens or views. The Malone episode has been called out for promoting conspiracy theories regarding the COVID-19 pandemic. Promoting conspiracy theories. The letter states, quote, by allowing the propagation of false and societally harmful assertions, Spotify is enabling its hosted media to damage public trust in scientific research and sow doubt in the credibility of data-driven guidance offered by medical professionals. So what are they saying? The science is settled. That's what they're saying. Debate is over. We are done listening to you undermine our narrative. Shut up. If the left could not engage in shut-uppery, I'm not sure they could debate at all. Up next, we're going to talk about growth and development in Charlotte.